So we're going to talk more about satisfaction, finding satisfaction in life. In the previous class, in chapter 27, Perek Chav Zayin of Tanya, we're talking about the idea of people finding joy, not being melancholy. The Alter Rebbe is like troubleshooting. What might bring a person down? So one of the things that might bring you down is the fact that you're not getting anywhere. People try, make efforts, and they don't seem to be accomplishing or achieving anything. This is a source of angst, and it gets them down. So the Alter Rebbe says, if your goal is Avedas Hashem, and by the way, it should be, and if you're trying really hard to make a difference, trying to change yourself, but not succeeding, you don't feel like you're actually getting anywhere, you might get a little depressed. So this is crazy. I'm dealing with the same demons, I'm dealing with the same little minutia, the same niggling spiritual worries, the same anxieties, and I'm not getting anywhere. I have the same bad thoughts, I have the same moments of melancholy or lethargy, and I'm not going to the next level. So a person gets frustrated, he gets upset. Alter Rebbe said, that's actually rooted in arrogance, because why did you think you're a tzaddik? A tzaddik is a person who becomes weightless. A tzaddik is a person who actually transcends the limitations that this world offers. But you, a beinoni, a struggling in-betweener at best, you have to just try to keep struggling. And the joy is in the struggle. There's no sin as long as you're doing your part, as long as you're battling the Yetzirah. So that in that case, you're doing what Hashem expects of you. And you cause tremendous nachas on high. You bring the Almighty great satisfaction. And that is, after all, what we are doing here. We were placed here, ani lo nivresi, we were not created, ella, except, l'shamesh et koni, to serve my master. So as long as I'm serving my master, that's good. I'm doing the right thing. So now we're going to follow through with this. A little more satisfaction. Talking about satisfaction. Satisfaction out of life when it's not what you asked for. Not the kind of life you wanted or expected, and there's a lack of satisfaction on your part. Comes the Alter Rebbe and says, God has satisfaction, and that should be enough for you too. Lochein v'lochein, therefore, al yipe lev ha'odom alav, a person's heart should not become fallen, which is a biblical kind of play on words from the book of Shmuel. V'le'yera levavim me'oid, it shouldn't bother you exceedingly. Gam em yiyekein kol yomav b'mochamazu, even if it turns out that you spend the rest of your life fighting the same battles, endlessly, seemingly getting nowhere. That's not a reason to feel terrible. Now, it's interesting. The Alter Rebbe says, L'yeda levavi me'oid. Me'oid means very. He doesn't say, L'yeda levavi klal. It doesn't say it shouldn't bother you at all. Of course it should bother you. A normal person who wants to accomplish something, a normal person who wants to be able to go, mechayel el choyel, from strength to strength, and we are built to go from strength to strength. We're built to accomplish things. Human beings take tremendous satisfaction in accomplishment. When we get nothing done, we feel stupid. In fact, the most debilitating thing for a human being to experience is hard work with nothing achieved. One of the things that the Egyptians did in the first exile of our nation, before we were even a nation, when we were just a family of Hebrews, was have us work and build in areas of quicksand. So we'd build a structure, and we'd see the structure sinking. It was just a matter of time before the structure would sink. So we couldn't even have any satisfaction. We didn't have any what we call sipuk hanefesh. Couldn't take any joy and say, oh, finally, I accomplished something. I achieved something. I built. I could take pride in my work. You couldn't even take pride in your work because where was your work going? How debilitating must it have been for the lucky Jews who, instead of being transported to Treblinka, were sent immediately to the gas chambers in Birkenau or Auschwitz, instead were sent to a work camp, one of the 60,000 work camps that the Germans operated. 60,000, let the number sink in. 60,000 work camps. Some of them had just 7 or 8 inmates. Some of them had 70,000 inmates. 60,000 work camps. And what were they doing in these work camps? Many of them were sewing uniforms for German soldiers or making bombs for the German army. What kind of satisfaction could a Jew take in knowing that he was actually helping the slaughter of his own people? Like, it's the most debilitating thing. Because not only you're not accomplishing anything, you're accomplishing the opposite. It's good. That itself can give a person a nervous breakdown, crack him up altogether. So this is how we're built. We're built for satisfaction. We want to know we accomplished something. People like to start things. They like to finish things. Now there's a silly joke they tell that this guy said he heard on Dr. Phil's show that if you're not happy, it's because you haven't finished things. You start things and don't finish them. So he said, I went home I finished a box of chocolate. I finished the Johnny Walker. And I finished the Prozac. And I said, now I feel much better. Obviously, that's ridiculous. But people like to finish things. We like to feel good about knowing I accomplished something. I set out to do something. I began. I ended. You want to have a start date. You want to have a finish date. You know, what did I accomplish? But if you're just like a gerbil, we're running in circles and doing nothing. You're running and running and running. You're not going anywhere. The person doesn't have satisfaction. So even the person who's running on a treadmill, what's the satisfaction? His new biceps, I don't know, his new abs. He feels better about himself. He has more strength. There's an accomplishment. Here we have a situation where a person it doesn't accomplish anything, or so it seems. And the Alter Rebbe says, Al yeda, le'yeda levavim me'id. Don't be exceedingly distressed over it. You can be a little distressed. There's nothing wrong with being a little distressed. You cannot, I think there's 2 points here. Number one, you can't deny human nature altogether, and the human being is going to get sometimes down a little bit. But no worries. If you're a chassid, we have fabrengens and lots of other things to keep you up. So if it doesn't bother you at all, then you're really in trouble. Then you don't care. Like the Alter Rebbe says in the beginning of Tanya, im liyeda levavi klal mizeh, if it doesn't bother you at all, then yachal level dekalas chas v'shalom, then nothing matters. So it's got to matter. You know, the communism is a beautiful system in theory. In reality, it's a disaster. Why? Why? Because people have no motivation. Why should people put themselves out? Why should they work hard? They'll get paid regardless. In fact, if they don't go to work, they're getting paid. And they have to wait in line for a loaf of bread anyway. So what difference does it make? So people had absolutely no motivation whatsoever. And even the communists understood that if it was a question of things that were really important to them, like nuclear bombs, that was really important to them, or science, the space exploration. So they had to reward those people. For everything that was a communist system, everybody got paid the same. They got a dacha, they got a summer house and a winter house, and they got all kind of perks. That's the way human beings are. Humans want to get rewarded. Human beings know that they accomplish something. So it has to bother you somewhat. And the truth is that even the Beinoni can at some level also achieve tzaddik-like reality. First of all, in some area of life, something that once bothered you, you could actually lick it. It is possible. It is possible that something which was once a weakness is no longer a weakness. So on a certain level, in a microcosmic way, you've achieved righteousness, like a tzaddik in some area, number one. Number two, like we said, Ula Yisaber Bei Ruach is a tzaddik, then maybe that tzaddik spirit will be in you. A person could always hope for more. Always never lose hope. You never lose an aspiration for what we call a better tomorrow. But at the same time, in case that better tomorrow or what you perceive to be perfection doesn't come your way, then you can't become down. You can't get distressed. You can't have anxiety and fall into sadness and melancholy. Even Gam Im Yil Kol Yomav B'Muchamazu. Even if all the days. Why? Ki Ulai Lekach Nivra. Alter Rebbe says, maybe that's what you're created for. After all, Chassidus comes along and says, despite the fact that some people convince themselves that the reason we come to this earth is to achieve shlemus, to achieve perfection, what they call in the literature world to steig, you have to go from level to level. Main thing is to steig, keep going from level to level, and you have to accomplish shlemus. You have to accomplish what's perfection, perceived perfection, actual perfection. It doesn't matter, as long as you're accomplishing shlemus. Well, Chassidus never bought into that idea. Chassidus says that Chazal never bought into that idea. That when the Mishnah says, Ani nevresi el l'shamash eskaini, it doesn't say, Ani nevresi l'hasig shleimus u l'shamash eskaini. I was created to achieve perfection and to serve my Creator. It doesn't say that. I was not created to achieve perfection. I was not created to build my ego, my CV, my leave behind a long list of accomplishments. It's not why we were created. Why were we created? Ella only. So if I go through life and I have no awards to show for it, and I cannot fill a shelf with all kinds of mementos that show my various accomplishments and what I achieved, or have a big fat bank account, who cares? Who cares? Does anybody take money with them into the next world? Do you think any of those awards accompany you? I'll never forget that a couple of years ago I was sitting with a fellow, a good friend, who had many accomplishments in life. Many, many accomplishments. And he was sitting there, he was very, very sick. And he was sitting in the living room. It was literally a few weeks, maybe a month before he died. And he said, start to cry. He said, I have all these accomplishments. I got all these, I got the one accomplishment. So what's it worth to me now? What's it worth to me? It's meaningless. I know where I'm going and I can't take it with me. And he's right. He's right. What can you take with you? A Pedek Tanya you learned, that's yours forever. Then nobody can take that away from you. The tzedakah you gave, then nobody can take away. The moment of glory of the spiritual battlefield, when you knocked your Yetzirah down, and you achieve what's called Iskafia l'Sitra Achra, you broke the Sitra Achra, and you did the right thing, that's yours for eternity. Nobody can ever take that away. And guess what? Who says you were created to fill a shelf of spiritual, what we call trophies? Who says? Who says? The tzaddik accomplishes that. The tzaddik actually transcends where he was, and now he's not where you are. And you may never be where he is. And the tzaddik's job is to try to help you get through your struggles and try to elevate you and inspire you. And the tzaddik has his own avodah, which is beyond the purview of what most of us will ever understand. And that's fine. But if that's what you're created for, so then you find joy in that. Think of it this way. If somebody's in policing, there's a career in policing. What's his job? His job to eradicate crime forever? No, that the government convinced itself is his job. What does the police officer think about? What is his job? His job is to try to keep the streets safe. His job is to try to enforce the law. Does any police officer, especially one with a few years of experience under his belt, believe that there's going to be a time when there'll be no more criminals? Absolutely not. Why? Because there has been criminals, and they're going to be criminals, and that's just the way it is. Why should human history change? So what did you accomplish? You got out there on the beat, and you're knocking down the criminals, and you're following up the leads, and you make a few arrests, and even you may even throw a few people in jail where they deserve to be, and other people, the system just releases them. And one police officer once complained to me, he was like almost crying. He said, I work so hard, I get the guy arrested, I send him off to the judicial system. He says, five days or 2 weeks later, he's back on the street. So it's like, what did I accomplish? Here I am, slaving, risking my life, trying to keep the streets safe. I finally get the guy, I finally arrest the guy. What do I do? Turn him back onto the streets. It's very frustrating. It's taka frustrating. But even naniach, even if the police officer would be successful and the criminal would end up behind bars, we had a normal judicial system. Let's imagine that was fair and equitable and it was also just. So the person who did bad things ended up behind bars. So there's not going to be somebody else waiting to fill his shoes. There'll be a new criminal. Don't worry about it. There'll be a new criminal coming right afterwards. What happens if a soldier's job is a career soldier? He's a career soldier. That's what he does. He fights wars. Unfortunately, Israel's fighting wars for 70 years. There are people who've been fighting wars from the beginning, their whole life through, till they couldn't fight anymore. So what did I accomplish? I fought one war, and with the enemy started planning the next war the next day, along with their peace process. So they should weaken us, so when they have that war, they should be more effective. So what did I accomplish? So people get melancholy. And actually, that's what happened. In Israel, people got tired. Our enemies wore us down. We said, okay, we need peace. Yeah, but there's nobody to make peace with. It's a pipe dream. It's not happening. It's not possible. You cannot say I'm making peace with people who are inciting the nursery school children with the blood of Jews. Worse than the Nazis. You can't say that. It's not going to happen. It's wishful thinking. But why do people have wishful thinking? Because nobody wants to fight forever. Enough already. Enough fighting. I fought. I accomplished. I made my point. I won my battles. Now I relax a little bit. It's human nature. It's human nature on a spiritual level too. However, here, the person who's going to get down because the Yetzirah is still betokfei betoldasei, the same Yetzirah, he's fighting the same battles, in fact. The same lust, the same cravings, the same desires that he fought last week and 2 weeks ago. He can't believe it. He's fighting them again. So frustrating. So the Alter Rebbe comes along and says to you, from a Torah perspective, that's not a reason for melancholy because lekach nivra. And if that's what you're created for, so then that's what Hashem wants. And a person should not get down about that. This is the meaning of the words of Job. So we've dealt with this already briefly, and Alter Rebbe didn't fully exhaust the meaning and the explanation that was required for this verse. Eov is complaining. He says to Hashem, he says, you know what? Let my righteousness atone for the world. I'll atone for everybody. He says, after all, you created wicked people. What do you want from them? Eov, Job is as if saying, it's not fair that there should be punitive measures taken because after all, they were created that way. Now this is a profound theological problem. It's a book of Tanakh. It's a book of our Bible. And the book seems to indicate that we have no free choice. That people can do as they do and blame God for it. So in that case, what's the point? The whole idea of righteousness is that there's a free choice to make. There are no righteous or evil animals. Why? Because animals don't make bad or good choices. They have bad owners. The Doberman who harms somebody is not a bad Doberman. He has a bad owner who didn't put a leash on him. So if the animal can't be bad, what was the human being supposed to accomplish? Well, science comes along and tells you the same continuum. A bunch of warm-blooded mammals, this is the Homo sapien mammal. Welcome to your next animal. But from a total perspective, that's incongruous. It's impossible to accept that. Why? Because there was a difference. On Yom HaShishi, when Hashem creates humanity on the sixth day, all of a sudden we say, Zeh HaYom Tchilas Masechah. This is the day that creation achieves meaning. Why? Because without this day, there's no righteousness. There's no, it's impossible to serve God. Unless there's a free choice, unless there's somebody to struggle with the Yetzirah, then nothing was accomplished. And animals can't do that. Human beings can do that. That's why Hashem gives human being mitzvahs. The meaning of a mitzvah is that you have the freedom to make a choice. Why are children not really held accountable for mitzvahs? Why can't they be obligated? Because children don't really have the ability to understand the choices they make. Where it's our job as parents to make sure that our children are actually making the right choices. And that's why in a perfect world, if you're a tzaddik, when your child becomes bar mitzvah, you say, Abrocha baruch shepatrani me'en shalazeh, I give the child everything the child needs, and now, wash my hands, now it's his problem. Yeah, that's if you would be a perfect parent. That's if you would have given the child everything they need. But with the exception of tzaddikim, none of us can be so stout or so proud to say, I did my job. My child has everything he needs. So a lot of times the mistakes that children make as teenagers, why do they make those mistakes? We do have something to say about that. It is partly because of our deficiency, of our shortcomings. So in that case, you can't say Baruch Shabbatani. You're still involved. And really and truly, parents never become exonerated fully. We're always responsible. And a parent always has to try to do whatever he could to make sure that children and children's children go in a good direction. Because that's the job Hashem gave us. And here, Eov comes along and says, nah, what are you talking about? You, your children, nothing. It's Baruch Shabbatani. The people are going to be wicked. They'll be wicked anyway. There's no good, there's no bad. It's all predetermined. God made this happen. Really? It's like that like shuts down the whole situation. It's like pulling the main switch on Judaism. Just like cut the switch. Everything goes dark. So that can't be. So what is the pshat? What did Eov mean when he said Barasa Hashem? So earlier, the Alter Rebbe said that it meant that a tzaddik does not get bothered by cravings and lust for sins, for common sins. Who gets bothered by that? A person who's prone to rishus, a person who's prone to do evil things. So that person will have to deal with these kind of demons. So that means Barash Rashayim. But Alter Rebbe ultimately says, but not really a Rasha. It should say Barash Yetzirah, not Barash Rashayim. So here the Alter Rebbe concludes what he spoke about earlier, and he says that when it comes to the concept of what Hashem expects from humanity, there are two possibilities. There are some of us who are maybe going to become tzaddikim, and Hashem expects us to become a tzaddik, incidentally, if we can be a tzaddik. He expects us to transcend that which was and to become a new kind of person, a person who doesn't deal with these things, and that's barasa tzaddikim. But alzeh amari, if Eve said exactly on this idea, barasa reshoyim, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu create reshoyim? The answer is that, and the Gemara, of course, queries, the Gemara says, the Gemara says we have a Mishnah in Maseches Nidah, and a Mishnah over there says that as soon as there's a conception, that a Malach begins right away to ordain what this child will be. Will he be short or tall, fat or skinny, handsome or not? All the things, smart, stupid, all the things that a person will have at the moment of conception, a Malach is giving out. He gives the whole, what's what we call the DNA. The person gets his whole DNA from that very first moment. The kind of toenails he'll have is also ordained. But one thing doesn't say Tzadik V'Rasha. You're not DNA predisposed to righteousness or not. What are you predisposed to? You're predisposed to a different kind of battle. That's what you're predisposed to. You're predisposed to the battle of Rishoyim or the battle of Tzadikim. As the Rambam says in Shemayna Prakim, the Rambam says there's HaChosid HaMa'ula, the perfectly pious. He calls this, that's Yaakov. And then there's HaMizgaber al-Yitzeh. The person has to overcome his Yetzirah. And who has to overcome his Yetzirah? The person who was born like a Rasha. That's the Esav. So you have Yaakov and Esav in the womb. And Yaakov, Esav was going to be hairy and Yaakov was going to be smooth. And Esav was going to be physically strong and Yaakov wasn't going to be so physically strong. And Yaakov was going to be a studious, predisposed to learning, and Esav was going to be predisposed to hunting. But none of them were ordained to be wicked. It's just that Esav was saddled with an enormous Yetzirah. And precisely because that he had an enormous Yetzirah, he had the ability to rise to the most amazing heights. Unfortunately, he chose wrong. Fortunately, Yaakov chose right. Yaakov does get outside the box, only because of his mother, actually. Only because Rivka brings out...
Can a Beinoni become a tzaddik by his behavior?
Can a Beinoni be a tzaddik by his behavior? A tzaddik by behavior is an oxymoron. Because a tzaddik is not a tzaddik by behavior. It's like saying...
It's like
a tzaddik is a mahut. It's the nature of what somebody is. It's like saying, could somebody become a kind person if they give a lot of tzedakah? Not necessarily. But if they give a lot of tzedakah, they'll still be doing kind things. It doesn't make you different. Maybe you'll have a difficult time. The person who gives a lot of tzedakah, every time they have to write that check, they have a twinge of frustration. And they're like, they think to themselves, why should I give away my money?
The tzaddik doesn't even fight yet, because
exactly the point. The tzaddik is a different person. The tzaddik actually is kind.
Right, so can a beinoni, how?
Can a beinoni become a tzaddik?
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. Every tzaddik was once a beinoni, but not every beinoni becomes a tzaddik. Every tzaddik had to pass through this terrain. If the tzaddik was born a tzaddik, then he's not a tzaddik either. That's ridiculous. There was a very interesting exchange between Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Lebracha. He went to see the Rebbe, and the Rebbe was sitting shiva with his wife, and he asked the Bracha, he had a grandson who was Nebuch battling with leukemia. I don't know what happened. So he said to the Rebbe, he was a 9-year-old boy, he said to the Rebbe, "Is a yingel a tzaddik." He's a child, he's a tzaddik. He's a perfectly righteous child. So the Rebbe said, "Eba yingel kenishdan ken tzaddik." Something to that effect. Like, it's not a tzaddik. A tzaddik has to be at the time. You know when you could be a tzaddik? When you reach puberty and your yetzahara comes in, bar mitzvah. Oh, now you're a tzaddik. Now you could be a tzaddik. Now you, when you can overcome a yetzahara, without a yetzahara, you can't be a tzaddik. So every tzaddik had to have a yetzahara at some point. It may not have the same fangs and pitchfork as a different yetzahara, but it's yetzahara nonetheless. And everybody's yetzahara is judged on their level of yetzahara. So that every tzaddik once had a yetzahara, but the tzaddik managed to overcome his yetzahara and go to the next level. So the tzaddik feels accomplished. The tzaddik doesn't have to worry about melancholy and depression and say, "I can't believe I'm doing the same thing all over again. I thought I dealt with this last week. Again? I dealt with this a month ago. I've been fighting this battle for 50 years. I'm getting tired. Enough already. Leave me alone, yetzahara." That's why he gets melancholy. That's exactly what the Alter Rebbe comes along in Perek Chavzayin. He says to him, "You have no right or no reason to be sad and depressed about this. You were not created for Shleimus Atzmai, not created for yourself. Build yourself a name and a reputation and have lots of accomplishments. You're created to serve Hashem. It's not your fault, and it's not a reason for you to be upset if that's why Hashem created you that way. That's the way you're created. End of story. You be all you can be. As the famous maxim says, that's all we ask of you. Be all you can be. Don't be anything anybody else can be." So this is the point when Eev says Barasa B'Shoyim. Barasa B'Shoyim means that these people were created to endlessly be in the situation of a Rasha, which means that the Rasha will always be fighting his Yetzirah. And this is a very frustrating thing. But doesn't mean it doesn't mean they should actually be wicked. Eov didn't say, "God, you made people do sins." He said, "God, you made people to contend with sin. It comes to them. They encounter. They reach like the activities of Rishoyim." And this is b'machshavtam. This is in their minds. This is b'hihuram. This is in their bad thoughts. Levad. But it only stays. It doesn't have to go past there. It only stays there. They tell a story once that the two Hasidim came to the Magid of Mizritch, and they said that to the Magid of Mizritch had a whole list of questions, a litany of things they couldn't understand in the Gemara. And the Magid answered all the questions, and the last question that they had was, why or how could it be that Keshem Shemavarchim ala Tevuk ala Kach Mavarchim ala Ra, that just like you bless Hashem with joy when something good happens, you have to bless Hashem with the same kind of joy when something bad happens. This doesn't make any sense to us. We can't understand this. So the Magid said, for this question, you go to my Talmud, the Mizushim Anipoli. So they went off to this little hamlet, Anapoli. It's still a hamlet that was there. Interesting, the Maggid's buried there. Anyway, they went to Anapoli and they went to see the B'zusha. The B'zusha didn't have a good day in his life. The B'zusha was an Aniv Evian. His roof leaked. His clothing were torn. His wife endlessly reamed into him. She was a very unhappy woman, Nebuch. And he didn't have Parnassa. And he didn't get much glory and honor in his little hamlet either. He was a man who didn't have a good day in his life. And they came to the B'zusha, who was always happy with a smile on his face. And they said to B'zusha, "Could you please explain this Gemara? The Maggid told us to come here and you'll explain this Gemara. Keshem Shemavarchim al Teva, Kachem Avarchim al Ra." And B'zusha looks at them quizzically and he says, "How would I know? I never had a bad day in my life." Is there something wrong with that? Yeah, it's one of two things. Either a tzaddik or mental illness. Okay, the B'zusha wasn't mentally ill, so he was a tzaddik. The tzaddik lives a life which is so perfect. He lives a different reality. So from his perspective, this is all fine because it doesn't matter. He does not. Those things don't make him tick. That's not the currency of his life. For him, the currency of his life, what would be a bad day? If bad day means he couldn't concentrate during davening, that's a bad day for him. And he managed to concentrate every day during davening. So what was the problem? But that's a tzaddik. You're right. If a normal person is like that, he needs medication. That's called lunacy. That's crazy. That's called living in denial. Reb Zusha was a tzaddik. If a tzaddik lives like that, it's great for a tzaddik. It doesn't work. Why the Maggid sent these people to a tzaddik, I'm not sure. And maybe they needed just to find out that there's some people who can transcend this thing altogether. The point is, the average person cannot expect to have that kind of reality. And it's taka a good question what the Gemara means. The Gemara has talked to everybody, not just tzaddikim. So maybe it doesn't mean with the same joy. It's a difficult situation. It's a tough one. So the point then is, Barasa Rashayim does not mean people were created to be wicked per se, meaning that they were created to violate the word of God. They were created to have to contend with an active and very dynamic Yetzirah that wants them to violate the word of God. And they shouldn't anyway. That's the meaning. They will always ever be battling. To try to just push the Yetzirah away, not to think about it. Because the moment you start thinking about it, you already did an Aveda. You look at something, if it catches your attention, that you're human. If you look again, now you're a sinner. If you think about it, if you entertain the thought, it catches your attention, push it away. What am I, I have to deal with this forever? Yep. So I have to deal with the Shoyim's challenges? I can't become like a tzaddik, have tzaddik's challenges? Maybe not. And that's okay. Why? It's what God created you for. If that's what God created you for, then embrace it and do it with gusto. I have a Rosh Yeshiva. I had a Rosh Yeshiva. Ezra Shachat. He's a big goyim. He's a Rosh Yeshiva in Los Angeles. And he tells a story that when he was a boy, at 17 years old, he writes this letter to, in his world then, to Gedolei Yisrael. Same letter. And the letter was that he's 16 or 17 years old, and he's a genius. He's like a real genius. One of the few real geniuses I met in my life. He's really, really brilliant. This is a creative mind that's just off the charts. And he has this vast and incredible depth of understanding. He's a remarkable person. So he writes this letter that here he is. He's 16 or 17 or 18, however old he was. And he knows that the Shev Shmeitzer wrote his book when he was 18, and the Shach wrote his commentary, Shulchan Aruch, when he was 17. And a litany of these great Gedolei Yisrael who wrote these unbelievable treatises that we still break our heads over when they were teenagers. Or they were 19 or 20 years old. And he doesn't see himself accomplishing that even when he's 50 years old. Certainly not when he's now a teenager. And so he's depressed about it. He tries, he learns, he works hard. He doesn't see it happening. So one letter he sent off, one of the letters was to the Rebbe. And one letter was to a leader of the Litvisha yeshiva world in Bnei Brak, the Stipler Gaon. So the Stipler Gaon answered him back, and he said to him, just keep learning, just steig away. You'll see, Meretz Hashem, you'll reach there too. You'll get that Shlemus also. You will write Chiddush Yeterah, you will write. See, the letter didn't talk to him, because he wrote this letter to begin with, because he already realized it's not going to happen. So what are you telling me? It is going to happen. So I'm going to live with fantasies, that I'm going to become a godly soul. I know I'm not going to be that way. So the Rebbe wrote him a totally different letter, and that did speak to him. The Rebbe's letter to him was, why are you comparing yourself to the Shach and the Shev Shmeitzer? Who says it's your job to be Mechadash Chedush Yeterah like they were? You have a different job. You should worry about one thing. You should be you. And every generation has its own challenges. And because every generation has its own challenges, because every human being has its own challenges, the only thing we have to find joy in is being ourselves, not being somebody else. Like Reb Zusha Ma'anapoli, who we just mentioned, famously said, when I die, they won't ask you why I wasn't Zalman, why I wasn't Levi. They ask me why I wasn't Zusha. That's all you have to be. You have to be yourself. And therefore, because Hashem created you that way, you're not going to be able to eliminate this because then tzaddikim, that happens to tzaddikim. I am totally convinced that there's not going to be peace in Israel until Mashiach comes. I don't believe it. It's the farthest dream. I don't believe really anybody realistically can say it's going to happen. If there was a question of doing a medical procedure and there was that chance of doing it, maybe leave it and, you know, take pharmacology or do the surgery and you might be fully healed. If it was those chances, nobody would make the decision to have that surgery. It has to be crazy to do it. Nobody would invest their life savings and those kind of chances. Well, maybe there's a 1% chance. Nobody's going to invest all of his money and with the chance of being homeless, maybe he's going to have. So what would you do then? You know what he's going to do? You keep battling. You'll keep taking those pills and you'll keep trying to make a living and you keep battling and you go through it. So unfortunately, what a lot of people don't want to hear and what a lot of people in Israel are tired of is fighting. But there's no other option. Our enemies will not be happy until Israel, Chas v'Shalom, would be no more. That's what they want. So this is our lot. That's the way. When Mashiach will come, our lot's going to change. But until Mashiach comes, that's our lot. So if that's our lot, what should we do? Keep fighting the good fight. And there'll be moments of joy, there'll be moments of glory. But in the end of the day, you say, my whole life on a battlefield? I guess so. What are you going to do? Is that Mashiach?
So when do you accept that you're not going to be able to make a change?
When do you accept it? Most of us know at a certain point that probably not going to be a tzaddik. I don't know if it's when you're 16 or 17 or 19 or 25. Yeah, when you realize that you've been through this battle and now you're back on the battlefield and you say, I can't believe this. I thought I fought this Yetzirah. I thought I overcame this Yetzirah. I did it and I'm back right there again. I can't believe this is happening to me. And it happened to me again. I'm getting down. How many years can I struggle for? I struggle for 10 years, 20 years, enough already? So Alter Rebbe comes along. Just the moment you're starting to give up and get despair and get despondent, he says, relax, my friend. Keep on trucking. But where's the accomplishment? I was built to accomplish. I said, your accomplishments are different. Your accomplishments are to keep fighting. And every single time you are able to overcome the Yetzirah, something amazing happens. You bring tremendous nachas on high, you bring God incredible joy, and you accomplish something even tzaddikim can accomplish. As we talked about in last week's class, and Bezrat Hashem, as we will continue.